You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Because it said, here comes the judge. See? And that does not mean the judge in what they call in our colonial judiciary system. See? Our imperial judiciary system. I mean the judge of righteousness.
Here comes the judge. Hear ye him.
Oh yeah, God save the African king. Anyone have anything to say before this just judge? Come say it now and say it like you're glad, and not like you're mad, for this judge have no mercy in this time.
In session, silence in the court. The court's in session, silence in the court.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Fellas, I just put less gap between the hardcore podcast and I'm Patrick.
Did you feel it throw me off a little bit?
Did it get you?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Had me stutter for a second in terms of like my response time on you.
A little change up.
I'm in a let's keep it moving. You know, like I'm full of energy.
You're brisk. All right.
Vim and vigor.
I was going to compare you to like Oral Hershiser post Tommy John. Like he had to try some different things out, but maybe not everything worked, but you know, he was still putting in the work.
I went to the Y twice today.
Shower. You know,
I'm working. I'm trying to get it back. I've realized I've lost everything and I'm just a shadow of the brief moment that I was anything. And now I'm trying to crawl my way back to the light.
You got that 518 mentality on you right now. Yeah. Yeah. How is being in your homeland, the Mecca, if you will, of the greater Albany metro area?
It's humid. You know, to get here, you have to travel along the western. I came the land route, so I came through western New York. And people forget that the more signs you have about opioid recovery.
Yep.
The kind of more of a bummer your town looks from the guy that's just passing through, you know, shout out to Syracuse.
Yo, is there an opioid line in New York? I feel like there is.
I mean, there's right now it feels like Western New York is got it bad, you know?
Yes.
It feels like maybe they got some of those Toledo problems going on in Western New York. But I'm back now. I'm back in the pearl, the eye of the storm.
The crown jewel of the empire.
Crown jewel, yeah. I'm here. And it's passable.
No Patroons games while you're home, I don't think, unfortunately.
No, there's not even a... listen, everybody. No matter how you feel about lockdowns and masks and all that, you should all storm your YMCAs and get the steam rooms open. This is I live for that goddamn steam room. I thought I was going to be back on the good foot, feeling good again. Instead, I get a blank look and the answer that the governor hasn't given us any notice on that yet. I want my steam room back.
Is the YMCA in Albany one of the top three things that you miss about the area?
It's 1, 2, and 3. There's nothing else here.
Your mom.
Yeah, she's all right.
All right. Your dad?
She's 4.
Your dad's below the YMCA, I was going to say. You know what I mean?
What about you guys? What's going on in your lives?
We're chilling. Tom, how you feeling?
I'm all right. Back to work after a very brief vacation.
On a scale of 1 to 10, give us a number rating of your Cali vacation.
10 being the best?
10 being the best, 1 being the worst.
Well, I'm going to say hard 5.
Hard 5. All right. Hard 5. Well, while you were gone, you missed 90-degree weather.
I saw that. It was hotter here than it was there.
Yeah, everything was covered in pollen, except when you're right by the beach. The water was freezing cold, which you deal with because you're at the goddamn beach, so you can't complain that much. But fill us in. Give us some Cali deets.
We went to the desert. I saw some folks. I saw our friend Kim.
Shout out Kim.
And Mike. We went to get dinner. Had some vegan eats. It was good. I had pineapple on pizza for the first time in my life, and I hated it.
Really? Okay. Well, you also were in California, but it feels apropos, I guess.
It was like a vegan pizza place, and like Rachel's like, oh, she usually gets like the – I forget which one she usually gets. And then she was like, they have some like meat one.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I didn't read the rest of it. And I had pineapple on it. That shit is garbage.
Yeah, I'm not into it. I'm not mad at it, but I'm also – you'll never catch me ordering it.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't really into it.
Okay.
Then we went out to the deserts of California and Arizona. I was in Needles, California, which is a very unfortunate name.
Oh. Yep.
apparently, that's where Spike from Peanuts was born.
Yes.
Which I didn't know. And then a friend of mine, I was like, when we were driving around, and like, I don't know, maybe we were playing like a game, like, is it sun-drenched or methy?
Yep.
Because it's really hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, yes.
And like, and no one's out because it's fucking 95 degrees. No one's like out, so it's hard to
tell. Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's 99 degrees right there right now.
Right. There's no like human being out. So it's like not even based on any kind of, you know, I'm looking at this guy and he's got like weird, you know, weird feature. Like, it's just like, I can't really tell if this is like normal or not. I have no idea what's going on. And then a friend of mine who listens, I won't out him, was like, dude, best meth I've had in my entire life was in Needles, California. And I go, I can't tell if you're fucking with me. He's like, dude, I'm 100% honest. He's like, there's a great McDonald's right there. And there was.
Oh. Yeah, if you go to 2451 Needles Highway in Needles, that's where I, as mentioned in the our chat, is the Dairy Queen / gas station, which is where I ate when I went to Needles. Actually, I think that McDonald's might have been near the Walgreens I went into when I was in Needles back in October. Yeah, man, like there's a lot of places I'd live in the desert. Needles is not one of them.
Yeah, and I think like like the Joshua Tree and that side of the Mojave has kind of priced people out.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the influences and shit.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, well, this is the next best thing. And it's like, it's weird because like so we went to like Havasu, but like Lake, you would think like, and this is my own bias and I apologize. But if I was like, all right, so there's two sides of Lake Havasu. One's really, really fucking nice and one's kind of shit.
Yep.
And I go, one side's California, one side's Arizona. Which one is the better one?
Right.
You'd go California.
Everyone's saying California. Right.
Arizona.
Yep.
California is fucking, it's empty. It's like desolate. We were in an Airbnb that had broken windows. Cool. The woman was late because she said her cleaning person quit. So she had to drive 2 hours to clean up the house, which didn't make that much of a difference. No Wi-Fi, no windows, a couple of broken windows. My door couldn't close because there was absolutely some kind of fight that broke the door off the hinges.
Wow.
And then I was all excited to like lay down. And then I realized my queen size bed was a blow up mattress.
No.
Yeah, they didn't mention that in the thing. So that kind of sucked. And then we went to, and like you could see like right across like Havasu, it's like, it looks like fucking Vegas compared to where we are. There's lights and there's fucking stuff going on. Like there's like people. We didn't go that side. Somehow. And then we went, we drove around Needles and Topac. I think that's in Arizona and a few other places. And then I went swimming in Lake Havasu, which was the highlight of the trip other than the people I got to see. And that was cool. We did that for like, you know, 45 minutes. And not as long as I would like.
Of course.
Water was perfect.
Jealous. Like, never been in Lake Havasu.
Like it was like perfect. It was like just enough. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
And then got to see some other friends of ours on Monday, and then now it's Wednesday, and I'm home.
Yeah, that's a hard transition.
Yeah, and they don't direct flights to Orange County. Not as plentiful as it used to be.
Yeah, I know that's one of the biggest bummers to me because I really love flying into John Wayne. It's the traveler tip to everybody, and it might not be a tip anymore because of this. But it used to be easier to fly into Orange County. If you were if you're going anywhere in LA south of the airport, it was almost faster to fly into to John Wayne and kind of reverse commute it, because it was just an easier commute, easier to get in and out of that airport. It's like a medium-sized airport. It's great.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not. Yeah, I mean, when I used to go out there, sorry for the people that are bored out of their fucking minds over this. They used, JetBlue had direct flights.
Yep.
A couple times a week into Long Beach.
Yep. Which Long Beach one was pretty tiny. Yeah. The best, tiniest. Well,
when I first went there, Rich was like, "I'll meet you at the curb." I was like, "What?
Yeah.
The fuck? I'm thinking JFK, you know."
Yep, of course.
You get your stuff off the fucking off the
what is it called? The luggage rack, carousel. Luggage carousel.
And you literally walk like through like two doors, and you're literally on the streets of Long Beach.
Yeah, true story. I've flown out of Long Beach Airport more times than I've flown out of LAX.
It's amazing.
It's good for you.
Yeah,
you know, how crazy is it that COVID got us all? None of us knew what the luggage thing is.
See, I mean, I read it last night like four times.
Luggage thing.
And then,
let's do some sponsors and talk some hardcore.
Wait a minute. I can't talk about myself. Patrick talks for 45 minutes about his shit.
Jeez, Pat.
No, I just thought you were done. I would love, please expound.
No, forget it. Well, I know long.
Jesus.
Right? Bob, I mean, me and you never talk about ourselves. And then this motherfucker is like, wrap it up.
I just thought you were done.
Jesus.
I was transitioning. My bad.
I'm going to go on for an hour.
Remember?
Whether I go on tour or go see my girlfriend.
Yo, what about last week when he got sensitive in the chat? When I was like, "Yo, good travels, Tom," and he goes, "What about me?" It was really good. It was sort of out of character, to be honest.
Because it was a joke. I've never been sensitive in my 23 years of life.
That's now, true.
I'm 1 minute into a 72-hour journey.
That's true. We did talk about how Patrick can chronicle the ugly white people across America with, if he continues doing these Greyhound or / Amtrak travels. So that's his book for 2025.
So for anybody considering this trip,
all right. So our sponsors are,
yes. So Tom, you are doing speed round. Patrick did a good job last week.
Okay.
I did an okay job myself.
What do I have to beat?
I believe it's right around two. So I will get the thing pulled up. While we're at it, why don't you shout out the two sponsors that we aren't featuring this week?
Our friends in To Live a Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Down in North Carolina. They always have new stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends in Salem, Massachusetts, our friends in Death Wish.
Boom. Tom, I know you're weary. Long travels.
Yeah.
But I think you're up to it.
I can do it.
You can do it. We are visiting with our two other big homies, Closed Casket Activities and Run for Cover.
Okay.
I will let you say go, and you say stop when you're done. So I will hit the button when you say go.
And begin. We're going to start at Closed Casket at closedcasketactivities.com. The first thing I'm going to buy is they did a new rollout of reissues of the last two Incendiary LPs. I'm going to go for clothing since I own the records. They have a t-shirt called Incendiary Cost of Living Promo, which I have never seen before. Totally different really nice. Vibe from them. It's actually really cool looking. Not that their other merch isn't cool, but this kind of has like a Deftones-y vibe to it. And it has like all the song titles on the back. I really, really like it. So I'm going to get that. And then since Pat does this, I'm going to do this too. Our friend Dusty up in the 518 was very generous and reissued the second Indecision LP called Most Precious Blood. He's got a few more left on gold and a few on splatter. And I would like to clear them out for him so he can put other higher selling merchandise pieces in their place. So go to closedcasketactivities.com. Let him know we sent you. Then we're moving over to Run for Cover. Runforcoverrecords.com. This is going to be my summer vibe for Run for Cover, because they always kind of elicit seasonal vibes for me. Mm. One of my favorite looks is a crew neck with shorts. Mm.
Okay.
Way into that. So first I'm going to buy the Down University crew neck by Fiddlehead. It's very nice looking. It looks like people are going to have to try to figure out if you actually went to a place called Down University.
Yeah, I like good it. Point.
And then for summertime driving around and everything, I went a little further back into the catalog. The record called Pleaser by Georgia Mac. Excellent, excellent record. Has a very summer vibe, very poppy. It's really, really good. So you can find that at runforcoverrecords.com. Done.
149. Fuck great it. Job, buddy. Ooh,
killed
shout
it.
Shout out to all our sponsors. race yourself over to their web stores. Grab some cool stuff. I'm looking at this Down University crew neck. Very nice looking garment. Shout out to all the homies. Tom.
Yes.
You are typically the nice guy of the podcast. Would you say that?
I don't know. I mean, I think we all have our moments.
Right. But Patrick's the bad guy, right?
I mean, he's the villain on the show.
Right. Exactly. He's the foil. He's the foil most of the time.
I have the worst temper.
Yeah.
Me and Bob go close.
Maybe not Irish. On the show, but yeah.
I get pretty
sure,
Irish.
For sure.
I get mad.
Today, we are you, but also inarguably, you have the softest heart for hardcore and give it a lot of love despite all its flaws. Yes. And you'll acknowledge the flaws.
Yes.
But you love it. You respect it. I actually want to send a first thing first. Shout out to everybody who's doing zines right now.
Yeah.
Love it.
A lot of fucking awesome zines out there. Shout out to my old homie, John Meat, who does Meat Cheat Fanzine. People should check that shit out.
Sex and Blue.
Some old copy. Well, let me close with him.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Our buddy Bjorn did a zine that is just Rage Fanzine. Bjorn and Geert from Control Records did a zine that's like just next step, next level. Alex with all the Streets of Hate stuff, and there's a bajillion more, but also we want to shout out Sex and Glue Fanzine because I got both those issues in the mail the other day, was reading them, really enjoyed them. Some great interviews, and I was reading his interview with you, Tom, which I thought was really good. I thought he asked awesome questions.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, you, and they shout out. And so everybody check that out. But you were very kind and you had good things to say. I liked what you said when it was asked about like when people basically bail on hardcore, etc. That said, today you get to be, instead of, you know, you did do the bar and all that, you get to be the judge, jury, and executioner.
Wow.
On some harsh criticisms that Patrick and I have come up with. Pat, do you have some?
I got some.
Okay.
And just for pre-production purposes,
yes.
Behind the curtain.
Yes.
Unless we had this conversation and I hit my head on a rock.
Yes.
No, I don't remember having this conversation.
This is a sprung because your beautiful, untainted ears on these are what we want to catch. Because we're going to say harsh things about hardcore. Things that might shock and offend people. But no offensive words. And we want you to say, that's fair, which is something you'll say sometimes. That's too harsh, or that's totally out of line. And we think it will generate great conversation.
All right, let's go.
Patrick, do you have one to start with? Or do you want me to start? You start.
Do you have Here Come the Judge to play before?
Oh, yeah.
Here Come the Judge. Here Come the Judge. Order in the courtroom. Here Come the Judge. All right.
Tom.
That's not fair. Oh, I'm sorry.
Baked goods at hardcore shows have a sub 30% success taste rate.
I gotta say that's fair. I mean, we're just desperate because everyone's hungry and they're like, I'll eat anything.
You're throwing softball. Did you intentionally start with softball?
Well, I actually thought that one was harsh because people that put effort into their baked goods at these things,
God.
I know they feel strong about it, and I know that they would feel disrespected if they thought for a second we were talking about them specifically. But we know that our listeners all fall in that 30% that are delish, right? So
agreed.
I do think it is a hot button issue for people that take the time to make something and then they see just somebody eat it like real quick without, and then nobody says, oh, that was good. You know what I'm saying? But sustenance. I think part of it is, yeah. I think part of it is like, we've eaten a lot of bum baked goods at hardcore shows. And
yeah.
I mean, think about
I'm kind of not, I'm not prepared for necessarily a good one. I'm always surprised.
It depends, like, when the person cooked, made it, baked it.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're eating it, you know, as a headliner setting up, you might talk, you know, 6 to 8 hours, 10 hours from the time they finish it, put it in a fucking, in some rubber
container. Right, yeah. And you think about the conditions at a show, opening the container, closing the container, you leaving the container open. This is it drying out? Is it getting gross? Is it too hot? Probably.
Sweaty.
Had some banging cupcakes at a hardcore show. Like, yo, here's the success rate. I think I'm referencing a show in Philadelphia from no less than 18 years ago. Like, I'm like, yeah, I think it was the church, and I had some cupcakes, and they were awesome. And I remember being like, yo, these are great. So, yeah, what is your favorite option for baked good at a hardcore show? Cookie? Is cookie the safest?
Cookie's safest. Cupcake's the classic.
Cupcake's my favorite if it's good.
What about blondie?
Chocolate. Blondies can be too dry. I hate it. I hate this.
You give me a dry brownie, I might fucking demand my money back.
Yo, I think 3 or 4 months ago, I got hype. I saw like my Instagram feed is filled with like cooking and baking recipe shit. I think I love it. How many? I've done a few, which have turned out pretty good. Mostly vegan. So maybe I'll link to you guys to some. But there was one that was like these peanut butter, like peanut butter brownie swirl kind of deals. I'm like, yo, banging. Sounds great. Looked great. Followed, I am a pretty good baker, mostly because I follow ingredients to a fucking T. Like, I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to make it exactly. They were like traumatically bad.
Mm.
Like had like 1.5-ish and had to throw the rest of them away. And yo, I hate throwing away food so much that today I ate the last 1/8 of corn that I had in a little container in the fridge from like 4 days ago. Cause I'm like, well, it's food. I don't want to waste it.
It's still good.
So, but I had to get rid of the brownies.
It was
offensive. I know. So you won't catch me baking any goods at a hardcore show anytime soon.
Does that happen still? I feel like, and I haven't been many, I feel like the large majority of my show going life have been at like in Manhattan, and no one's like bringing fucking, you know, no one's bringing.
Yeah, those are some bridge and tunnel brownies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, I feel like at the VFW halls, shit like that, that's more likely to happen than
100%. You know, I think it doesn't happen as much. But if we have any, I bring baked goods to hardcore shows, listeners, let's hear about it. I want to hear about it.
And I'm sure some of those folks have turned it into like their livelihoods.
Yo, yeah. I was going to say we maybe have evolved past the need for it. Because I feel like in 1998, getting a vegan cupcake in a lot of these spots was like, yo, that's a treat. Like,
right. It's the only place to get it.
Right. Other than like the health food store that has that like dense ass chocolate cupcake, you know, you're like, oh, this is like, this was made within the last, you know, 2 days. Damn. So yeah, shout out to all the vegan vegetarian food places. I saw a homie. I won't disclose his name here, but he posted that he was heading to Detroit. He's like, probably aren't, but any good vegetarian or vegan options? Probably. I'm not expecting much. And I'm like, yo, what year is this?
Yeah.
There's vegetarian and vegan options literally like everywhere. So
you'd be hard pressed not to find like
near a metro area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. I'm going to go a little harder with this one.
Oh boy.
Hardcore largely amounts to a bad soundtrack for a vegan and vegetarian book club. Too harsh, out of line, or fair?
I think it's too harsh because a lot of hardcore people don't read.
Very true.
But my, I mean, as far as the music, and I've said this a million times, like, there's no other type of music that has such a large, like, chasm between amazing and terrible.
Okay, I'll use this. What? Man, no, this is too harsh. If you had to give a percentage, let me start with Patrick and then to you, Tom. Percentage of good hardcore versus bad hardcore made since initiation and since onset. What percentage is good? What percentage is, we'll just throw it in a line that if it's not good, we're saying it's bad.
Yeah.
Which means meh or it's okay is bad.
8% good.
Tom, what's your percentage?
I was going to say a little. I was going to say 33% good.
Okay.
Wow.
I thought
I was being harsh.
On another one of mine, I go about 10%. Do we think, in terms of impact to people's lives, other than veganism and vegetarianism, what are the biggest pluses that hardcore has brought to people?
Okay, so I can answer this. I deal with a dude who I've hired him on occasion, but he's very independent dude in the arts who he might have been like this no matter what, but I think his big pull from punk and hardcore, he actually does the DIY life.
Exactly. Like that's what I was going to say.
I mean, when you see, look, for most people, DIY, it is just the way that they watch YouTube and fix their home. But for a lot of hardcore kids that made the determination, and now you might have to make this determination for different reasons, as we're headed towards a corporate monoculture that should terrify everybody. But a lot of kids say, oh, hey, I can do this. I can make a living. I can be a member of a community and give back in whatever respect I want to, all outside of somebody else telling me it's okay. And I can put it all in my hands. And I think that for the kids that are drawn to that, there's going to be a sliver of that no matter what. But I think that hardcore gives you the practice to do it right by putting out records, by putting out zines, by booking your own shows. Those things, which seem really rudimentary and anybody on earth could do, look,
people don't.
There's people who can't order food at a restaurant without feeling uncomfortable. Yes. And these things, I mean, Bob will tell you, you get on the phone with your rep pressing at the pressing plant, he's not a dick, but he also might not have all the time in the world for you. And you have to navigate that circumstance as a 19-year-old. Again, there's been 19-year-olds who have died in trenches. You know what I mean? So I don't mean to give all the credit in the world here. There's 19-year-olds that were having their second kid and raising a barn with the rest of the family. But I think that hardcore has really provided people, for lack of a better term, the training wheels that they needed to go fully independent in their lives and live outside of what I on this probably get too didactic about on this podcast, but which is corporate oversight of your life.
Yo, is that the nicest thing Patrick's ever said about anything?
Seems it.
It's pretty close. Yeah, pretty good job.
Nice.
Okay. Patrick, your harsh criticism next.
Oh, man, I hope I didn't lose him. Let's see. Okay. We'll go with just a broad, harsh one. Hardcore has it over indexes for kids who weren't good at sports and still somehow want their photo taken.
What do you mean over indexes? Explain that to me.
Like that percentage of people within hardcore is higher than it should be.
People that want to have their picture taken?
People
like, in action.
Yes. Here's my criticism. And I say this, I understand from the quote unquote privileged position of been in a band for a long time and I don't even care about photos anymore. But I think that when you are 22 and nobody's really taken your photo for anything aside from your class photos every year. Because there's, I mean, and this changes obviously with things like Instagram, but let's put it in the context of somebody who is 28 plus. Like, I think that there's a lot of young people who really wanted to feel exceptional in that looked at way and maybe didn't care how they arrived there. I think without naming any names.
So you're saying people started bands so they get their photos taken?
Yes.
I think that's out of line.
All right.
That's fair.
You think it's fair? Okay.
Tom, you think it's fair?
I think it's out of line. I think
it might be.
Oh, you think it's out of line? Okay.
No, Tom thinks it's out of line. I thought.
I'm sorry. I totally misheard you. It sounded like you said, I think that's not a lie.
Oh, no, out of line. I'm sorry.
It's out of line. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's people being like, my mom doesn't have enough pictures of me on the mantle. I'm going to sort of ban. That's stupid. I don't think that's.
No.
Although it does make people want to take pictures of like them and their friends more. Well, I mean, they do that at bars too. So like, you can't really.
I think it might have preceded a little bit of look at me social media culture. And yeah. I don't know how many people started bands with that intent. But were there people who started bands with the errant idea of becoming, like, started hardcore bands with the errant idea of becoming, you know, famous or some shit? I don't know.
No, it seems missed,
but
I'm coming from a different place. I think that there's not trying to get famous, just trying to be
seen.
Seen for, you know, whatever it is. Like just a few, like, okay, here's what
small audience scene. Okay.
Yeah, without naming any names, I would ask you guys to refer in your minds to bands that were around for a year and a half and then you never saw the members again in your life.
Yes, have one in my head.
It feels like oftentimes, I'm not on some like, they got to be down for life tourist shit. I'm just on some like, oh, it occasionally feels like young people want to feel special. And this is a very low barrier to entry for that purpose. Does that seem like I'm saying something crazy?
No,
not at all to me.
No, I think your question was weird. But yeah, I mean, I think that makes, you know, people more worried about how they look in pictures than they do about the music. Yeah, that's fair.
All right, Tom, a little bit more direct one here.
Yeah, please.
Hardcore after 1987. Oh, yeah, I know. Hardcore after 1987 is largely cosplay. By the way, just so people know, these aren't things that I actually think. I'm just posing the question.
Largely? Let's see. I would have to say that's fair.
Wow.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, like, everything after that has been based on something that happened before that. Right?
Sort of. I give more credit to the 90s than that. And because I give more credit to the 90s, that means if I'm just playing it forward in my head, then I got to give credit to the 2000s. And say,
so forward, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like,
yeah.
I understand what both of you are saying, or you know,
the question being posed.
Yeah.
But I think that.
Well, think about like Chain.
I think that
Chain is full fucking cosplay.
Oh.
And they've begotten 1,000 other cosplayers.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like they were cosplaying fucking Youth of Today.
Yeah. I mean,
at least, who were cosplaying 7 Seconds.
Yeah, but here's what I'll say is
Ray had his own thing.
That's the thing is that the gap between those is the special sauce, and it might have been cosplay at the time for sure, but which again we don't talk about it enough. So much comes out of 7 Seconds that just does not
get enough credit.
Yeah, really, truly.
We're standing on the edge of a 7 Seconds song. It's all good.
We are.
Oh, okay, good.
That record coming out, like they're going to put out more of those old records.
It's going to be on streaming.
Sounds good.
We're right there, yeah. Yeah, oh, okay. Sounds really good.
Hopefully Kevin gets a band back together.
Mm. Well, that's not necessary. But the thing is, what I'm saying is, I understand this argument, but if I look at the 90s, I can say, no, the 90s had some bands that you could only nominally call hardcore. And they became, so it's hard to say they were cosplaying anything. And then they became the standard bearers. And then the 2000s, you have bands, particularly the 2010s, you have bands that are unrecognizable as hardcore, not just to me, but I think to most people born, anybody born before 1980 is not recognizing the 2010s hardcore as hardcore necessarily. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, and also Bob said largely.
I did say largely. Okay. Yeah. Not 100%. I gave wiggle room. I gave wiggle room.
Yeah. So
largely.
I'm thinking about Earth Crisis. I can tell.
No, the way he phrased that, which is fine.
And I think that's one of the outs. Like, if you ask, like, fucking Rob 108, he's probably like, I was trying to be Black Flag.
Right. But, okay. So nobody. You guys don't mind when I bring this up because you're believers, but to 90% of our audience, this is not an important band. But I swear to God, Threadbare does not sound like any hardcore. Like it sounds like other types of aggressive music, but it doesn't sound like any hardcore. And I think that the fact that that was just another hardcore band, oh yeah, that's 90s hardcore, is great. Kind of... It evidences that, oh yeah, that was a time where things just, there was a shift that was so prevalent that things like Threadbare just got put in that mix, even though if you go, I mean, Starkweather, another great, if Starkweather is a hardcore band, then there was no rules during that period. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I think,
here's the thing.
Go on.
Hardcore, going back to Onset, has largely fallen. There's sometimes been times like, yo, can you think of any other hardcore or punk band that sounds like Flipper?
No, better or for worse.
Right. Or the Big Boys, to be real. Like, no.
They're no, like, although I think we could say that there was some aborted Big Boys cosplay, maybe like, you know. Within our lifetime, there was
sure. Some of the fast stuff, but like the fact that if you like, I was doing an exercise on the Big Boys not long ago where I was like, what's their best record / what's the record I would give to someone who's like coming from the fast punk side exclusively, who in 2020 might be like, yo, but what about this funk punk shit they've got going on, and how every record has at least three, some more like very weird songs, and that's, you know, the In for a Penny, In for a Pound with that band. And like, you can't, if you start trying to parse that, all of a sudden it changes the it's erasure of what the band actually was. Hardcore. So largely I'm comparing Starkweather to fucking Flipper in that. I also don't think it would have been fair to call Starkweather a metal band when they formed. Right.
I mean, maybe closer.
You're not wrong.
Sonically closer.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's say that sometimes throughout the years, hardcore's ended up being a catch-all. And I think that some of those bands you mentioned, I will do a deep dive on Threadbare and hit the chat and say, here's the hardcore references I hear, because it's been a minute. I really do like the band. And I think there might be a few threads that are there. Starkweather, I tend to lean and say, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's pulling from. Maybe.
Probably like Neurosis and Amoebics more than, and Negative Approach.
Yeah.
Like Rennie tries to sound like John Braden.
Right.
But like that weird, like
really
kind of
slowing, like slowing down the most mid-tempo of this. When first wave hardcore slowed down, take that. But then add leads, you know?
Yeah, it's not moshcore. Like, that was not their intent. No. You know what I mean?
No, it's dense and more difficult. Anyways, and this is coming from somebody who's not really a Starkweather fan. The hardcore after 87 as largely cosplay is something I just want people to think about more so than... It's definitely not something I believe, because I think largely is the key point. You can say that and it's fair and be like, well, yeah.
Yeah. And that's
people.
Yeah.
Because people take it on and take on outfits and looks and like,
right.
You know, I think you now look at it and like right now, the revival of mid 90s big pants cartoon drawing stuff, it like warps my mind every time I see it.
Same.
Like, I'm like, whoa, this is back.
Yeah.
Because it was largely dismissed. You know what I mean? Like, but now there's an audience for some of the stuff that was being done and people like it. And it's like, okay, I mean, how is that? That is really just one step over from hooded mosher drawings, you know?
True. And I always think about like, you know, there was a time that everyone tried to ape like Roger and Rabies.
Like yes, looks? Yes, there was. Yes.
And it's like, yo, those dudes were like one step from living on the street. Like that was not a fashion choice most of the time.
No, that was
that's what they had.
Yeah, I'm wearing a lot of clothes. I'm wearing a lot of these clothes because these are the clothes I have and I have to wear them to have them.
Yeah, to make sure that they don't get stolen from my squat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like so many people were doing that. It's like, you know, those dudes were not like walking down St. Mark's like picking out a cool outfit. You know, like fucking Rabies made like Wise hats cool. Like that dude got it from a delivery guy one day.
Yeah.
Never like, thinking like, it was going to be like this like fucking pimped out thing that everybody.
Yeah, wanted. like might have been walking through the bodega and there was a Wise hat on the chip stand and went, oh, cool. Yeah. I need a hat.
Yeah.
You know?
Sunny out there. Yeah.
So, yeah, like I think right now is this interesting time where everything's been thrown in the blender. Aesthetically, look wise, and sound wise, and we're getting a lot of cool stuff out of it. You guys probably heard a couple weeks ago that Turnstile song,
so good,
the new one, Mystery. I think it's great.
Love it.
And Patrick, did you hear it?
At the time of this recording, I have not heard it, and I know
failure.
That hold on. This is. I don't want to say how old and out of touch I am. I saw it on everybody's Instagram while I was waiting at the co-op and everybody, the co-op does loaded fries now, which is like the least healthy thing you could fucking, I don't understand what the co-op's doing, but whatever. And I'm waiting there for my loaded fries. And I see everybody on Instagram about this Turnstile song. And I regret to say that I, for like a full minute, I thought, how do I listen to it? And I don't want to say I couldn't figure it out, but I was like, oh, I don't have Spotify on my phone. Oh, I don't know what to do. And then I didn't listen to it.
Wow.
Wow. I just want to say that it was comforting to hear reports from the co-op. It's been a while.
Oh, thank you.
It's very nice. It's comforting.
But I mean, I think with the cosplay thing, it's yes, sound, yes, it's please. Look, and it's like, you know, how many people involved in hardcore in 2020 or 2021, you know, didn't go through, you know, what the, you know, them going on tour in the van that their family helped buy them with the equipment that their family helped. I mean, and this is not something, I'm not trying to sound like fucking John Joseph being like, yo, punk kids and your fucking buses. But like when you read about like the shit that say like fucking Rollins went through.
Sure. Yeah. Get in the van.
Yeah. You know, get his fucking ass. I mean, and any band out there or anybody, you don't even have to be in a band. Listen to read Get in the Van if you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
It's like the wild, wild west. It's like him, you know, Black Flag being like out on the frontier and like playing places and like getting bottles thrown at them and who's getting spit on and the cops are trying to get them. But it's also the punks are trying to get – it's unbelievable and it's 100% true. So like if you're using that as your foundation, then we're all cosplaying. Even in the 90s, we were not in danger like they were in danger in, you know, fucking Bad Brains being four black dudes in Texas on tour or wherever. Maybe not Texas. They weren't nice to people in Texas. But
that's true.
But, you know, down south somewhere.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, Sick of It All or fucking – or AF especially would play that these places and, like, the KKK would come out.
Yeah.
You know, and all their friends. You know what I mean? Like, not that AF
– different. It's just a different sense of things.
Yeah. So it's like – then we're all not – living that same. It's just as if like you're dressing up like a fucking, you know, like cosplay at like New York Comic Con. Like you never shot a laser.
Fact.
Where's your phaser?
You know what I'm saying? Your hair don't stay like that usually.
Wow, I'm okay. I'm with it. All right.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein, Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
Patrick, give a harsh criticism. Tom, behind the curtain. I said to Patrick, yo, we're both pretty good at winging stuff. Write a few ideas down. Does it sound like the last question was something he wrote down?
No.
I can do the one better. Whenever you guys are talking, I think, oh, right, that's the one I wanted to do. And then whenever it's my turn, I swear to God, I had a good one. And then when we're about to talk, I go, what if hardcore would be better if more venues were haunted? Like that's where my brain goes because I'm senile now. And I'm like, but I was like, no, I just had a good one. What was it? Okay. Let's see.
While you think of it, Tom, would hardcore be better if venues were haunted? If more venues. Patrick, please focus on your topic point.
It's tough over here.
Would they be better?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably add a little bit to the nuance, to the ambiance of the places, and you know, yeah,
like what are we dealing with? Yeah, are we dealing with
the equipment can fall out? Like, do people get like picked up and dropped? You know, like how do we know they're not haunted? Maybe like all those wild stage dives were partially because of ghosts. or people that have equipment problems and they're like, I just tuned this like 17 times. What's going on here? Or my head stopped working, or why is this mic keep cutting out, or, you know.
Yeah, and then Slimer coming through the pit. That's
you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, someone at the last Rainfest we played, someone dressed as the Ghostbusters. And there was Marshmallow Man.
Actual cosplay.
They were actual cosplaying, like moshing in Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I have one before I forget.
Go,
guys.
Go.
Hardcore is healthiest when it's marquee bands are vague and about nothing.
Hardcore is healthiest. Is that a question or is that like a statement that I'm supposed to overrule?
You can say if it's fair. So it's a commentary.
It's a statement that you're supposed to tell me. Nah, I don't think that's fair. Or yeah, I think that's probably fair. Yeah.
I would not say it's
and Tom, when I say healthiest, I mean the most new blood interested in hardcore music, and the most the shows that are least likely to destroy a scene.
I mean, I think that's fair. If you go back in the last 30 years and you think of like. Who, you know.
Okay, let's do this. All right, let's do this. This is you when you say vague and not about anything, you mean they don't have heavy identifiers. Is that correct, Patrick? Like we're a straight edge band. We're an anarcho punk band. We're
we're
a vegan band, right?
Probably should have found a more delicate way to say about nothing, because that's not fair.
That's not fair either. Because like we're about to go through bands that we all like. Turnstile's been a big band. They don't have limiting identifiers, right? Like, you know, largely there's a few dudes who are straight edge. There's some dudes who are vegetarian, vegan, probably.
Right, but there's no like every song is about this.
No, right. So then before Code Orange, same gig. They weren't Power Trip, same gig. They Have Heart, last one that was Trapped Under Ice wasn't. Have Heart was.
Power Trip was.
What was their? What would you say?
I mean, they
their
were
thing
more
was?
Like kind of.
That's
like,
a thing.
Like the garbage kind of stuff, but not anything overt, I guess.
Yeah, not overt. And because they crossed over in that metal.
I'm saying single issue voters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The Earth Crisis of the world.
The Earth Crisis of the world. So I think Have Heart's an example. Before that, you're talking like Terror. You're talking AN.
Personal stuff.
All personal stuff, Converges, the more metalcore side. You probably have to go all the way back to the late 90s. Like you can get who pick your poison of whoever was the biggest. Floor Punch is certainly the biggest now, but at the time, maybe In My Eyes was the biggest, and they were full straight edge thing. And then obviously Earth Crisis before that.
Right. But I mean, I think, you know what, I think that's also sort of a blind spot for us, because I would imagine like we're definitely overlooking bands like, say, like Crudos.
Yeah, but not.
But aren't they as big as almost any band we're talking about? But like,
no, well, different. It's different. It's like, yes, they would play some pretty huge shows, but not like in a way that it was.
You know what I'm saying?
So Crudos is a weird exception to the rule.
Well, hold on. I also don't
think they were a single issue voter band either.
Sure.
Like they were a little anarcho. They were a little punk, hardcore. They were a little, you know, like obviously Latino identifying kind of band.
Yeah, but I think that whether or not they were quote unquote single issue voter type hardcore, I think that the Latino identity thing is what they were pinned with as single issue voters.
Okay, I think they could be an example of it. But then if you go into that world, like Tragedy, His Hero's Gone.
Okay, so check it out. Tragedy was going to be the comparison that I make against Crudos, because Tragedy is,
doom music.
For all the good things about Tragedy, the lyrics are of the incredibly like punk against the system variety.
Yeah.
Like they're far above most of their contemporaries in that respect.
Incredibly well done, but they're not saying anything.
It's still kind of like smash to fuck the fucking system, sort of
vague enough that you can apply it to many things that you feel down about. Yes.
Yes. And by the way, just as when Bob said that the cosplay was not his position, simply a question. This is not my position or not my position.
Right. You're just posing.
I don't know what the answer is, because I think of the bands that I loved when I was first getting into hardcore. We're talking about like 108, which was when I got into them as single issue as you could get, you know?
Sure.
So, Earth Crisis, which had two issues, but Vegan Straight Edge became a hyphen for a reason.
Yes. Yeah, you know what I mean? So for sure.
So I love that material. And I like the bands that are attempting something in that world now, the political bands. But I've come to think that for all of my enthusiasm about 108, Earth Crisis, etc., I think that there's an argument that could be made that the energy that it brings in is not a net positive. I'm glad that those are the bands that got me enthused about hardcore music, and I feel a lot of kinship with other people who came in at the same time and have those feelings. Mm. But I think that there's also some nastiness to it.
I don't disagree, despite the fact that there are some real draws to those. I think the way you posed it was, is hardcore is at a healthier place when it's got some bigger acts that are not single issue or not specification, and they enable a larger audience in. But I think that's the matriculation, right?
Right. Or if that's just, there's no causation, it's correlation. Or
yeah, that's possible. That's very possible. But it's funny because Bob and I are both struggling to say GA without saying GA. Right.
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah, this is the cast a large net and catch a lot of fish. My thought is, hardcore, the fish and boat hardcore goes out with the turnstiles as the net, the Code Oranges as the net, the Power Trips as the net, catches a lot of fish, and when they get them on the boat, that's where, you know, all of a sudden you have some of the more specific things, and maybe you find your issue, or maybe you like to flop around on the deck. It's all good.
Okay. That's pretty well said.
But I think you're not. I actually think that's fair. I think it's a fair thing to say, because especially in the current parlance, and the reason maybe this has evolved, because we might have had a few more single issue or more singular idea stuff, more focused ideas in the years of lore. We're bringing in more different types of people, and that's diversifying the idea base and the background base, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I've never been to, like, you know, like Earth Crisis on Ozfest, right? I didn't go to Ozfest.
Right.
What did Carl say on, like, was he like every fucking song was about vegan traditionism and talking about it, or was he just going up there and playing their best 20 minutes of material?
Yo, that's literally a fascinating question that I have no idea the answer to, but I want to know.
You know what I mean? Knowing them and knowing him, he doesn't. He can't read an audience.
Nope.
So that dude is going up there talking to the bros with the mullets, being like,
literally with clear plastic cups filled with beer.
Right. Him talking mad shit.
Yeah.
And I love him for that. So I think that's amazing.
But same. Like,
but I know a lot of bands that, depending on their audience, they're Christian or they're not so Christian.
Yes.
Some of them are praying for you all to get home safely tonight, and some of them are like, have a good night, everybody.
Tip your bartender.
Yeah, so. And I seen it. I seen them.
I'm with it. All right. What's your final ruling on that, Tom? Do you think it's a healthier space? Hardcore is thriving when it has bands – that are casting a broader net at the top.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's, like I said, if it's causation or correlation, but like...
Yeah, I like the way you put that too.
I don't know if it's like, you know, if it's fucking Hatebreed, people are more into it than if it's fucking, you know, whomever.
Well, that's such a good question, a good idea too, because I don't know how many people were discovering hardcore through Hatebreed in 2005. I'm not saying none.
No.
But I also think that there might have been, for the person seeing Hatebreed or discovering Hatebreed in 2005, Hatebreed might have been a part of a world there that kind of stopped there too.
Right, right.
No, and that maybe in 2000, for every 10 people who discovered Hatebreed, maybe 6 dive in a little further and figure out this, that, or the other, or whatever. By 2005, we're probably down to 1. You know,
yeah, because I mean, 2005. I mean, I would have to go back and look at like 2001. Right. Say they were taking out like every hardcore band they knew.
Yes, correct.
But 2005, are they going out with like fucking like Cephalic Carnage and fucking Goat Whore? I have no idea. You know what I mean?
Yes. This is such a. All right, here we go. Thank God for the internet. Let's play this game really quick. I believe on that tour. Wow,
April 2005 tour.
Yeah, Persistence tour.
No, that was 2002.
No, there's a Persistence tour 2005 as well.
Holy shit, that record came out in 02.
Yeah. I believe if this is to be believed, let's see. Wow.
This is our third anniversary of that record.
They are. Oh, do you know Hatebreed is going to be in Australia in July?
In this July?
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. July.
Okay, Patty 2005 was. Yeah, you got to get down there, buddy. You will be heard.
It's becoming an issue in Australia because the politicians, like the opposition party politicians, have finally started saying, hey, everybody, skateboarders are getting into Australia, but you can't see your family. And people are, that message is resonating with people. And if they get the message, hey, everyone, Hatebreed is hitting our shores, but you can't see your 2-year-old. It's strong messaging.
I just realized you said persistence. I heard that it's perseverance.
Yeah. Yeah,
persistence is like the
East Pac
Euro tour.
Yes, correct. So just to give you
what I call the Slapshot annual.
Yes. So they did only about 26 shows, but the shows they did. Okay, that's in Australia. A lot of Australia shows on here, guys. In the U.S., they did New England Metal Hardcore. They did a Hatebreed Obituary Ice Pick Unearthed show two nights.
Jamie sang it twice.
Let's see this. Selling those things. Leeds Festival. Hellraiser's Ball, Motorhead, Hatebreed, Meshuga, Devil Driver, OTEP, God Forbid, Crossbreed, Nemic. The Hatebreed 10th Anniversary Tour with Hatebreed, Most Precious Blood,
V2,
Gizmachi, If Hope Dies, and Mantis. So yeah, they're full blown chaos. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That tour, MPB almost got thrown off like immediately. That's serious.
What happened? Can you share?
Yeah, singer.
Oh, that's right. Stupid. That's right. Yep, like, we know the story
about like making fun of Hatebreed's fans. And Jamie was like, "Yo, I will give you the X amounts of thousands of dollars that it cost for them to pay for this bus to get the fuck off the tour."
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
PK, what were you going to say?
I don't recall anymore.
Sorry, I outshined you with my...
All right. Tom?
Yes.
Fair, harsh, out of line. Hardcore has contributed nothing of value to the greater world.
Out of line. As we mentioned, it's the DIY ethic started in hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Can I pin real thing real quick? Because yeah. I've stood on that corner until doing the NYU class with a professor who was like, "Oh yeah, this is really cool," and was kind of going through it. And he's like, "But you know, like independent theater has been doing like all that stuff since like the 1500s, right?" Yeah, like putting on their own shows in community space. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then he was like,
and you can argue, Garage Rock did it before hardcore too.
But hardcore had a spirit with it that kind of changed the vibe, I think.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
No one's getting mad at you if you're setting up your fucking community theater or fucking Macbeth outside someone's house.
No, and the church, like, yo, this is the same thing that when we get the questions of like, oh, I want to book my local VFW, the local church basement, blah, blah, blah.
If you're doing Oklahoma, you're going to get a big yes.
Yeah, and the term finessing exists for a reason. Look, you got to be good and work the angles. You don't go, it's a bunch of dudes yelling fuck for like several hours while their friends punch each other. Yeah. Like it's just a hard sell, but somehow it persists. So anyways, DIY of the flavor of hardcore certainly has changed the game in a lot of ways. Yes. What else has it contributed?
I think when we were talking about before, like, is there any vegan and vegetarian stuff in Detroit? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's become pervasive because of like the like yoga and like healthy living kind of stuff. But hardcore kids maintaining that during the 90s and the early aughts and buying shitty vegan burgers when no one else was.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. It was also for kids. So when I was 17 and going to a new city to see a show, I went looking for the vegan, at that time, almost certainly vegetarian rather than a vegan restaurant, vegetarian restaurant with vegan options. I went looking, and the other people at those places at that time were often 58-year-old hippies, you know? And it is, I think that maintaining the interest, yes, it is true that there's always going to be people that are interested in a compassionate lifestyle, but I think that funneling literal teens into it was a hardcore innovation. So I think it's hard to take it away, to take that away from it.
Okay, let's do one more. Patrick, you got one more?
Yep. Hardcore is dying for a new trash talk.
The band Trash
Talk. Band. Yeah. I would say that's fair. They had such a vibe and like that chaotic thing. Mm. Although I feel like that would be hard to pull off without feeling cosplay.
Oh, I mean, look, there's all sorts of reasons that it might not work, but what I'm saying is like there's no accident that Gulch is a very big band for hardcore and that they are going to get a lot of offers when things open up if they haven't already. And part of that is because they have that sort of
feels dangerous.
I say this with the total respect to Gulch in the same way that I say it with total respect to Trash Talk. It invites outside eyes in a way that hardcore desperately needs, or counterpoint, doesn't need at all. That's up for our listeners. I'll let them fucking make their own decisions. But there is a thing, like, for example, okay, that hardcore show in Los Angeles I went to, I would say fucking half the people there were looky-loos, you know, just people that like heard something wild was going to happen. They wanted to see something wild.
Yes. And
that's, some people hate that. I know at times in my life going to shows, I've hated that, but nobody can take it away from Trash Talk that they brought a lot of people into this idea that, hey, this shit that you see, again, I'm not trying to condescend anybody here, but this shit that you see as like in movies, it still exists and there's still people enjoying it and you could come be part of it if you wanted to, you know? And that's what I think. That's why I think like Gulch is probably the closest that we got at the moment. And I think that they could be the next Trash Talk in whatever respect and have that massive kind of crossover appeal, but they're not there yet.
Different scene hardcore, though, too.
Say again?
I feel like that's a little bit different, only reason being like those Trash Talk dudes were like like plugged in, like those like Odd Future and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
that's they were like part of like where are you putting? I love Gulch. Like, there's no slight to them, but like, what's the crowd that you put them in front of that wouldn't have seen them otherwise? That are like, what the fuck is this?
Okay, so Tom, that's probably the difference that I'm trying to put my finger on, because to me, I prefer Gulch's music to Trash Talk's music, right? But so I'm not like, so I'm not trying to like.
Right, but like, look at Lee. If Lee, if you said, "Oh yeah, Lee runs a fucking skate shop and fucking, you know, is a Supreme model," and you'd be like, "That sounds right. Yeah, if that fits." And like, of course, that transfers over.
You're putting your finger on the difference, which is the Trash Talk dudes were natural at finding these spaces,
and it looked like the kids in the crowd.
Yeah, that's a fact. It is that sort of. Those dudes were so good at finding the, for lack of a better word, at finding the angle. You know,
I don't know if that was like a choice or is that just like a happy accident?
I think that's who they are. You know what I mean?
So it just happened to fit. It happened at a weird time where like hip hop was open to bands like that being on tour with them. And
yeah, I mean, taking nothing away from their hustle, also giving something to the moment. You know, but those two things met in a way that was really efficient. And I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know if I believe this or not, but I'm positing, I'm making the statement and asking you to comment. Hardcore thirsty for that next like crossover into cool. And you could say Fucked Up was that. You could say Power Trip was that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Ceremony was always on the fucking edge. You know what I mean? Yep. And Ceremony, sorry to monopolize this conversation. Ceremony no. of all the
you're having to debate about. With yourself.
No, please. Yeah, no, it's good. No, it's I'm enjoying hearing where you're going.
I'm thinking out loud now, but Ceremony is my favorite of the bands that we've just of the ones that we've all talked about right now. I think in part because as much as I fight it, I have some snobby, like this is mine sort of energy still, even if I don't want it. You know,
right.
So Power Trip belong to the world. You know what I mean? Like, and truth be told, Power Trip probably more bangers than Ceremony, but they belong to the world and less to me, if that makes sense, as stupid as that might be. So I guess what I'm saying is
tracks.
Turnstiles crossover band.
Turnstiles also right on the line to me because yes, I agree. This is no disrespect to Turnstile, not just a band I like, but friends. It hasn't taken in the way that Trash Talk did. Doesn't mean it won't. Right.
Like there hasn't been the made. Like, yo, there's still an opportunity, I think, for Turnstile to hit that.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, they did that, like, what was it, like Suicide Boys, whatever the fuck, like the. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to remember, part of this was Trash Talk started, their shine started, and they got in and with the Odd Future folks. Right before Odd Future popped. So it wasn't like Odd Future was like this huge entity who then got in with Trash Talk. They were both kind of on the rise in their individual worlds, but Odd Future and that whole group kind of like leveled up and were like, yo, Trash Talk, you with us, and put them on too. And also like, not for nothing, Trash Talk just did a lot. Like they did the thing, and Fucked Up deserves credit for this too, and Power Trip deserves credit for this too, and a lot of bands deserve this credit. They were willing to say yes.
Yeah, fact.
To things that could have felt weird, could have felt antecedent to certain hardcore conventions, but they were willing to say, yeah, we'll do that, and we are confident, comfortable, and believe in ourselves enough that... this won't undermine us as an act and us as a hardcore band, because look, there might be people who try to undercut Trash Talk for any number of reasons, but yo, that was a hardcore band when they started and they are still a hardcore band right now, you know?
Oh, that's absolutely.
And I think
pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. And I think, I think even like talking about this, we kind of got a little far afield because like, we're talking like, say if we're doing the one-to-one from like Trash Talk to Gulch, right? Like Gulch, part of their appeal is like, you know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
all, you know, some of their friends are going to get up and, like, you know, beat the shit out of the singer with a fucking, you know, with belts or whatever the fuck. I feel like, of course, you could put, you know, whoever, fucking Turnstile, Mind Force, Incendiary in front of, a 2,000 people that have never heard them and be like, people would be like, that was actually really impressive. That band was good. But, like, Trash Talk was good, but also kind of like the singer threw the barricade. Or, like, the singer jumped off something or climbed to something that he probably shouldn't be doing. That adds, like, that, like, punk feel that a lot of the other bands necessarily wouldn't. Fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Gulch adds that, like, little bit of dangerousness. That it could feel dangerous. Like, how? Mm-hmm. I feel like that was the thing with Trash Talk. I mean, I remember seeing Trash Talk at, like, Afropunk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people were just acting reckless.
They caught the energy that Trash Talk brought in this infection.
Right, field, right. So. And you know, like, I've seen fucking Bad Brains play there with fucking Corey Glover from fucking Living Color, or, like, seen Candiria there, or seen other bands that, like, they did okay. But, like, Trash Talk felt like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like, the people that weren't expecting that were, like, shocked. And then, but that's how you get people to come back to see you.
Yeah.
Yo,
no joke.
Let's give Trash Talk their full flowers here.
I think we just gave them their flowers, man. This is nice.
But I was just going to say, I don't know. They really know how to set it off. Like, really, like they have a high level skill at setting it off. It's like,
yeah, from a very early period. Yeah.
They bring, like, the weird guy fucking energy from, like, the basement, but then bring it in front of, you know, 1,000 people.
Yeah, I mean,
you're like the guy that's gonna, like, get in your face in his fucking, you know, and he's stripped down to his underwear and he's, like, screaming in your face in a place where you can't go anywhere else. They bring that vibe to, like, giant spaces.
Yeah,
climbing on shit, throwing stuff. Like, it's fucking, like, it's what people that don't know punk think punk is.
And that's exactly my point, I guess. Yes, is with my original conversation. So yeah. All right. Well, sounds like maybe Hardcore's thirsty for it.
Let's start it, Pat. Maybe that's what SWAT will be.
I don't have what they got. So this is all three of us can think of bands that are much more professional, quote unquote, operating at a higher level, whose jobs, careers, everything depends on them setting off a show, and Trash Talk does it better than any of them. That's crazy if you think about it. Like,
pretty much.
Shout out to Lee. Shout out to Garrett. Shout out to Spencer. They've been doing it for a long time. Good for them.
No doubt. All right. Is that all the questions that we got for time, or all the statements that we got?
I think it was good for today. Let's call it. Boom.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Support our sponsors.
Email us.
Email us, axegrindpodcast@gmail.com. Let's
review.
Go.
Review.